When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge USA 2 Wrap-Up Podcast for episode 12. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Ali Lasher. Ali, how are you?
We're rocking and rolling. I cannot believe it's episode 12. Like, how did we get here?
We are one away from the final, the highly anticipated final. I'm very excited to see what they do with this final after last season. So we're almost there.
Yeah. One thing I didn't tell you before we got on, I was gooped earlier because I saw you tweet Corey trying to maneuver the game without catching strays. And I was like, the episode has not occurred. Like, I was like, what's going on? And you clearly had hashtag BB25. But when I see you tweeting about Corey, even spelled wrong, I'm like, Right. Was there like a second, an inside look? Like, is Corey's game developing and I haven't understood it?
Well, honestly, my brain is operating at like 50% capacity, so it's not a surprise I would spell someone's name wrong or maybe tweet about a season not occurring. So it certainly was in the cards for today.
I was like, oh, shit. But then Corey really didn't have much to do this episode. So I was like, OK,
for this season.
And like I went back to confirm, like I was like, that's weird. And then checked again. It took me on the second look. I realized what was going on.
So here we go. We got down to the final 10 after this week, down to the final 8 after next week, and we will be crowning a champion. Challenge USA 2 right before you know it.
There really is something that feels less like, I know you were speculating that last week they maybe knew it was last elimination or thought it was last elimination. Like, no matter how many times we've done this, which is a good number, over 9+ years. Something just feels less grand as we approach the final with so many people. Like, we find out upcoming trailer, it's going to be 8 people going to the final. But like, I truly meant, like, how did we get here? When like, it still feels like we have so many people. We're 12 episodes in striking distance of the final, and yet we have a full cast. Like, another lesser reality show's entire cast still remains.
Right. It is funny. This was probably like the first episode of the entire season where there was more men than women. So that, and then like here we are full circle, like the last single elimination had to be a women's elimination to even things up, which is pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, I think what it is because the pacing has been so quick. Obviously, they were doing the 2 episodes a week for like a month. So like within a month, we lost like half the cast. And on like a regular challenge season, it might take 3 months to lose half the cast. So that the pacing is this has just been nonstop. Like, I think like every episode except for like the premiere, I think I sent someone home. So like, we've really just been ripping and riding this entire season.
It sneaks up on you. I think like the amount of people left are the entire starting cast of Genuine Ken, but I haven't looked it up. Anyway, more importantly, Chris is coming back off of three eliminations in a row, four overall. Gregory says Chris has won four individual eliminations in one season, joining a group of only three other people. Is he the most impressive rookie the challenge has gotten in years?
I mean, certainly in terms of like elimination performance, if that's like what you're focused on, obviously, I don't know if he's been the most like entertaining persona, right? I mean, like he's been like,
if that's what you're focused on, no disrespect, respectfully, if that's what you're focused on, then sure.
No, but it is, because I think there's obviously like different categories of rookies. I think we've had rookies that have come on, like, you know, got in the mix, started fights, hooking up with people, and just like made a big name for themselves. And then there's rookies like a Chris here that like, for the most, like, yeah, I know we had that one really sloppy episode. For the most part, it's been just like doing competitions very, very well. So from that standard, obviously, there's, I mean, if he goes on to like seemingly make a final, if he goes maybe even wins, obviously, or even if it's just top two, top three, but yeah, it's gotta be one of the best rookie seasons that we've seen.
Yeah, he's also beaten really, you know, not all eliminations are created equal. He's beaten a lot of impressive people, obviously Wes, also Tyler, also two people I can't remember. But it's certainly impressive. Obviously, I agree with you that you can measure a rookie by a lot of different standards. I feel like we must have talked about this, but I'm going to ask it again. Can strategic thinking / social game be taught? Because we've seen like someone like Devin, who's got the sort of strategic element, go hit the gym, come back more physical. We've seen that from even Cara Maria, probably is in the category of like being sort of a dud and coming back more physical, really physical.
Mm-hmm.
Can the reverse happen? Can Chris work on or learn, pick up the social game?
I think he can. I think picking up on like the strategic element of those three, especially for sure, like the challenge, is probably the easiest. I think like that's just like, it's usually pretty basic stuff about how to pick up like maybe who to align with, who to vote in a certain point in time, and things like that. So I think the strategic element is certainly something that can be taught. I think the physical stuff, it takes like the most effort to like acquire it. Like Cara like had to put in a ton of effort to go from where she was when she started to like the super beast that she is now. But the social piece, I think, is probably the most difficult. And I don't even necessarily think he's like picked up on it, because I think there's just a certain charisma you need to have to be like a likable person. And I think that's something you kind of either have or you don't. I think for the challenge, it is easier to pick up, because there is like a different level of respect you can gain, not from anything you do socially, but by what you do physically. So like Chris might not have been liked, but like if he comes back, people will like him just because of his physicality and like what he's done, not necessarily because of his social component.
Respectfully, you think he's not likable. I think the strategy is a little bit more you have it or you don't, honestly. Like I don't see it for Corey coming in, you know. Like I think like even we don't see, it's harder with the challenge than something like Survivor or Big Brother, because you can't guarantee that your shots are going to land. We see this coming back to like Desi and Chanel here. You know, formats vary, but with the elimination structured as it is, where it's not just a straight vote out, you can't always guarantee that your shot's going to hit. And so that's tough for people to sort of talk their way out of. That's rare on even Survivor, Big Brother, more strategic based, strategy based games. It's really hard to stab someone in the front and then talk your way out of it. But there are very, very gifted strategic / social players of the challenge. Chris, Michelle, you know, not one of them at this point, but I do want to flag that like it's very difficult. That said, I think you're flagging something really important about sort of the respect that physical prowess gets you. And Chris is likable. Like, I don't think Chris is not likable. I think Chris played a sloppy game and maybe got like too confident, overconfident. Like, he's not like Jordan, for example, who is actively not likable, but right, extremely respected for his physical game. So if Chris has like Jordan upside, plus he's actually kind of likable, sky's the limit.
Yeah. And I mean, Chris, like, yes, he wasn't on Survivor that much, but like for the final few days he was on, like he was in the mix. Like he fire making by tossing himself in. Like, I think he did stuff like when he got his like idol when he first got back on. So he had a mind for the game. Like, he's not a doofus out there for sure. Like, he knows what to do. I think he was just in this environment here. He just like didn't execute it very well, but I think he has a good mind for it. But I think he's like his claim to fame is going to be what he's doing in these eliminations, gaining the respect. Like, but I think he has the strategic mind for it.
I'm going to ask you a lot of questions as we go on of like how some people could have gotten out of the little mess they made. Cause really this is sort of like cleanup on episode 12. Like we're seeing a lot of people get held accountable for their actions. So Q Tori, first Q Michelle being confronting Desi and Chanel. How do you think Michelle sort of handles the blowback here from her decision last week to not vote with Desi and Chanel and instead vote for Chris?
I think she did okay. I think ideally for her, she could like avoid this the night of and like let people relax. Cause I think it was a little bit of a risk to go into when people might've been more upset in the moment. And like risk of being such a large blow up that it could really just isolate Michelle and pin an even larger target on her. So it was a little bit of a risk to like do it seemingly so quickly after the fact. But I don't think she handled it that poorly. Like I think she like gave, you know, whether it was right or wrong or whether you agree or disagree, like she gave her rationale for it. And I think that's all you can like want. Like she wasn't confrontational. I think she did okay for screwing two people over and leaving them really badly hanging.
Yeah. I don't know what the move for Michelle is here, because I understand why Michelle didn't want to cast a vote for Tori herself, but wanted some people to put balls in the hopper. Is it just at the last minute you tell them you think you're going to just stay safe and vote for Chris and maybe they'll still take the shot? I think it's more important for Michelle that she get Tori out. I almost think it's better for Michelle's game, and obviously hindsight is 20/20, if she votes with Desi and Chanel, because at least then Tori's wrath is split amongst three people. And you have to, and you hope that you have better relationships with the guys, which apparently Michelle is the most quote protected woman in the house. So really she's only at risk of Tori directly nominating her or Tori choosing Michelle's ball to put in. If the rest of the house, she's good with the rest of the house. So she almost made three enemies instead of just making one.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point, because also if she was protected and Tori wanted to like take a shot at the three of them, like Tori can only do it obviously with whoever she might win the daily with. And the men, there are a couple of them that would, I think, want to protect Michelle. Like if like Fessel was in there, I think Fessel and Michelle have like a, you know, decent relationship that he might
apparently
want to, like,
she's his number one. That was also
right. So like maybe he would so he would try to maybe steer that target going to Desi or Chanel or something like that. So I think Michelle should have, but this goes more towards like the decision, not like how she handled like the conversation after the fact. I think clearly the decision was probably just wrong. I think how she handles it, it's like tough. Like, what's the right way to explain your wrong decision? Like you just don't make it in the first place, I guess. But like once you make it, there's no real easy way to do it without like, you just make sure you don't blame the other people for like causing you to make the bad decision or something like that.
Unless she was worried that turning on a rookie would rattle Bananas and Corey. Maybe Corey could pull Fessel. Like, you know, maybe she thought that turning on Tori would unravel this whole like house of cards, those mixing metaphors. But, you know, I don't know. The only thing for me that was confusing, I agree with you about there's nothing much Michelle could have done other than just confess to take the licks from Desi and Chanel. Now, she did an homage to her famous Survivor meme, bro, I know. We heard, I've not thrown anything out of the window, bro. It's getting tough for Michelle when she throws out a bro. But I think Chanel and Desi sort of overreacted. I could not understand this entire episode why the main focus of Michaela, Chanel, and Desi shifted to Michelle from Tori.
Tori's interesting, because Tori, I think she respects people who like want to take her out, because she knows she's a strong competitor, so she knows that people should want to take her out. I think she more doesn't respect people that are like flaky about it, and I think she grew to like be like, all right, Desi knows I'm a strong person. Chanel knows I'm a strong person. So logically, it would make sense for them to want to take the shot at me. So I can at least respect that. But Michelle was like trying to almost get them to do it. Not almost getting, trying to get them to do it. And then she can like snake back away. And that's a little bit more dangerous in her eyes than the person who's like, all right, I recognize you as a strong competitor. I need to take you out. I'm going to try to do it. As opposed to Michelle, like, you know, playing in the weeds.
So I agree with you, except that's not the reaction Tori had. I thought I was ready to come on here and criticize Michelle because Michelle didn't massage Tori. Like Michelle, if Michelle's going to side with Tori and sacrifice her relationships with the Secret Garden, then Michelle had business to tell Tori before the vote, right? And say, they're trying to vote against you. I'm not going to. I just want to give you a heads up that you're going to catch some balls tonight. You know, I tried, whatever, lie, do whatever, sell them out completely and align with Tori. I thought Tori should have been a lot angrier at Michelle for spearheading this vote almost and then turning on it. It's sort of irrelevant if you get three votes on her, or two votes on her. Tori says people make their own decisions. At least Michelle didn't vote for me. I'm not mad at her. Mm-hmm. That to me was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been very interesting to see what Tori, if she would have like 100% followed through with that if she got in power. She would have, but maybe she could have been talked down and to like realize more like the grander scheme of what was happening, and she might have directed her ire somewhere else.
Well, but, she voted for Cassidy. She didn't even vote for the Secret Garden, right? I don't think she voted for Chanel, so.
No.
Yeah, I just think that the rest of the episode, I'm going to grill you on this because I don't understand it. I think I understand, jumping ahead, why Michelle was the main vote. For the same reasons that Desi and Chanel didn't want Tori to be the main vote and risk going against her, I get why everyone's more comfortable with the risk that they'll go against Michelle. Why every woman besides Tori did not cast their vote for Tori makes no sense to me. And that's what I mean by like the Secret Garden shifted their focus on getting Michelle out and realigning with Tori. The damage is already done. I don't buy Desi's like, I'm suddenly so moral, I have to like find a way to make it up to her. Take the shot and complete the shot. We're so close to the pot, Desi. It's like the shot has been cast.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I couldn't believe how many hopper balls popped up for Cassidy. Like, I get it for some of like the guys that Tori has been working with. I thought she would get a few, but I couldn't believe she not only didn't get multiple, that she didn't get any. Like, that's wild to me that Chanel, like for Chanel, right? Like, at least Desi, like, she could say like, all right, I could try to remedy my relationship with Tori because I'm saving her. I'm voting Michelle. Chanel, what relationship is she gaining for the Tory? She's still gonna be caught in the ire, so you might as well follow through and just like double down on it, and then they take your chances in the last elimination. So that's crazy to me that Tory's name did not get popped up once.
And this is what's beautiful about the challenge, is like all of this sort of underlying built-in respect, like you were talking about, like, you know, having sort of respect for the people you're targeting or whatever. Like, Tori is not a Survivor or Big Brother player. Tori comes out of this and says like, all right, well, now it's game on. Like, Tori should be saying, in theory, to Desi and Chanel, like, I totally get where you're coming from. You did what you had to do. Like, I still am true to my word. I still want to go to the end with the strong people. I still want to protect you if you're still in. Like, whatever it takes in the event that they catch power. Tori doesn't even do that. Tori's like, well, it's game on from now on. And Desi still protects her.
Yeah, it's they really try to, like, do both sides, right? Like going sort of like a lot of half measures is being done and like trying to back out of taking the shot. People are just so afraid to take shots at like strong competitors. They'll like do it so like 90% of the way, but then try to like do the last 10%, which is what you need. They don't do it. The people just get so afraid of it blowing back on you, especially like other strong competitors. Like Desi, like someone like Desi, the great thing about her is she can be like, yeah, I can take the shot. And if someone wants to take the shot at me, they're going to need to knock me out in elimination and I can knock them out. Like, she should have that confidence. But I think that, I mean, we saw that earlier in the season, like that's been like her, like, you know, her Achilles heel is not almost recognizing how good she is and that level of confidence she should have. Like, she should put herself at that level of Tori of being like, people want to like take me out, but I can take them out. But she just doesn't see herself like that.
She's also, Desi is so well set up if she gets Tori out. I think Desi can beat Tori. We see sort of Desi deal with that criticism where she's like, people are like, do you think you could beat her? And I don't know. You know, she's not like, yes, I could definitely beat her. She's a layup. She's overrated. She's old. Like Chris says about Mattis, right, inexplicably. But like the way the women are stacking up here, like with Jonna and Amanda, not that Amanda was such a big threat, but with Jonna and Amanda out early, Tori being the only vet left, Desi is the one there with the most final experience, even though she has like a whiff of it. And Michelle, Cassidy, and Chanel are looking, and Michaela are looking like a pretty good group for Desi to run the final against.
Absolutely. No, it would be all set up there perfectly for her. And I think if it came down in the final of like people wanting to pick your partner, I think that's like all like the top guys would want to pick Desi. Like she would always be the one highest in demand. It was so perfectly set up for her to have this Michelle versus Tori battle. And she could have even like saved herself by doing the Michelle vote. So if Tori is the one to win, like she might then focus again on like the people that voted her in the hopper. So like she really should have tried to push, to at least get like a couple of balls in the hopper just for like the sheer chance of it. Cause that's all as TJ says. You just need one.
Meanwhile, Josh is celebrating that he's made it to the top five. They're the top five guys, baby, left in the game. Furthest he's ever been, as Corey points out. Was this cute or cringe?
It was a little cute. Good for Josh. You know, he's had his struggles in the challenge. I mean, it's not, the one thing for Josh is like, he's obviously has his like big brother win. It's not like someone like Michaela or some other people that have like done their CBS show and it didn't go that great. And like to hear they're trying to like really push for like their big win. So for Josh's big brother win, not that like it doesn't go away, but it was like a long time ago at this point. It was like 6 years ago, 7 years ago at this point. So he's had now a lot of number of years of struggles, not doing well, being made fun of on Twitter by certain people. So I'm sure he wants to, you know, stamp, at least make a final. I don't think his dreams are clearly not of aspirational as seeming to win. I don't think I'm sure he hopes to win, but I think he's has more realistic goals of like, he just wants to like make and complete a final. So I think he, you know, good for him to try to complete that goal.
Yeah, it's interesting because Josh oscillates between talking the biggest game ever and feeling massive or expressing massive insecurity about not having earned his position in the game. And I think that's sort of a healthy mix for a challenge contestant, right? Like he's cocky and he gets in your face and he thinks he's better than he is and he puffs his chest and he's like, hold me back, which we get in this episode of, you know, fake offers of things I'll do if the situation arises. And then we get him, you know, like crying at the idea that he hasn't earned a spot. So I think Josh is a beautiful paradox.
Yeah, I think he just goes to the extremes of those two a little too much. Like, I think it's okay to have both those thoughts, but then he also that goes to the extreme of like, I want to like go into, I think he like toss himself, like say like, I'll go into the next elimination.
Yeah, that's the
like,
fake offer. Like if there's another one, then I want to go in against Chris. Okay, Josh, he says that confidently thinking there will not be another elimination. There's no world next week. I mean, if he volunteers this close to the final to go in next week against Chris, I will be shocked. I will have to believe that it was certain fate that like Fessel was like, it will be you. So if you want to look good, you have to volunteer.
Yeah, but just don't even put that out there, right? Because don't give them all an excuse of like, all right, Josh, you said you wanted to go in. Like, go prove yourself. Go knock out the big bad Chris. They just don't put that into the universe. I don't know. Maybe he's not a karma guy.
No, he's the definition of hold me back, hold me back. If he wasn't holding me back, I'd be all over you right now. Like, right.
That's fair.
What do you think of the new alliance blooming between Desi and Chris in sort of a moment of mutual desperation?
I like it. I've been waiting for someone to pick up Chris. I keep waiting for like, I feel like they've had some conversations, but I feel like where's like the Chris and Cassidy just like strongly coming together of like being like the two outcasts and like wanting to take on everyone. Like we've had that a little bit, but they should be the two like having conversations in the room of like, oh, look at us, we're the two outcasts. Let's you know, try to cause some chaos and get everyone turning on each other. Like where are those two working together?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we see Michaela sort of trying to bring in Chris last episode. So this is really the Desi conversation is sort of an extension of that. But I don't know with Cassidy. Like, I would love you to ask Cassidy when you talk to her, like, what she saw the game as. Like, I'm sure we didn't see what her game and her plan was, because she was betrayed by the people she thought was her allies, like, very early on. And then we never saw her maneuver or try another approach. She continued to try to vote with those people. She just kind of was like a sitting duck. So it's a great question to ask her. Like, did you ever try to pick up the scraps with Chris? Maybe Chris was just already working with the Secret Garden, who were already working against her, but she does kind of seem like the game has just been happening to her.
Yeah. And I'm still waiting for, like, I think we are seeing like that respect for Chris. And, you know, if Chris comes back, I think people will, well, I don't think he'll be like that much of a target, like from an outcast perspective. He might be a target just now people see him as a threat. But I'd be curious if Cassidy comes back, is like she's still going to be like falsely labeled as like that layup that people just feel like they can toss in, because she's now like racking up the impressive wins. Like, these aren't just like, you know, cupcake like easy wins, eliminations. Like, knocking out Michelle in this and like dominating her is very impressive. So if she plays again, I'm very curious to see like what the perception of her is, because it certainly shouldn't be the perception that people have of her right now.
Who, since you have all these notes, who has Cassidy knocked out? She knocked out John A. No, that was Tori.
She knocked out John A. She knocked out one of the Alyssas. I think Alyssa 2. And then she knocked out... Where's the other one? She knocked out both Alyssas.
Tiffany? Did she knock out Tiffany?
No, both Alyssas.
So, Alyssas. You know... Respectfully, I understand why she's not building the same reputation with both Alyssa's and Michelle as her opponents as Chris is. But, you know, she still won 3 very legitimate eliminations. Like, it doesn't take anything away from her, but she's not knocking out beasts. I guess Michelle is not a comp beast. The Alyssas are not beasts.
I mean, Michelle, Alyssa won, like, pretty good. I mean, Chris's like resume, he knocked out Lewis. He knocked out Tyler. He knocked out Sebastian. And then obviously the Wes is his like.
I think the Wes and the Tyler is what speaks the loudest.
Yeah. But even though those ones, like the Tyler one was like the mint and a half one. So it wasn't like a crazy great performance. I don't know. I think.
Yeah, but it was Cassidy's physical.
It was. But Cassidy, you know, 3 elimination wins is 3 elimination wins. So
I said that. I said 3 elimination wins, 3 elimination wins. But I understand why she's not building this like monster reputation. Right. If she took out a Desi, I think honestly, the thing that speaks the loudest to me about Cassidy is Chanel, who's got weight on her. You know, I don't know what these people weigh. That's what Chanel said. Mm-hmm. Trying to wrestle her out of an oil ring. And then she's still in the ring. Like, we didn't see the rest of that fight. But like, that to me was like, wow, that was sort of an underdog story. Mm-hmm. The others, I think Cassidy's probably the favorite in the other 3. Still amazing, but not like legendary kind of status to me.
Sure.
I find Desi very inspiring. When Desi was talking about her pageant history and sort of, you know, not knowing how to do hair, not knowing how to do this, and then coming in second, winning, like, I think Desi's strategic mind and Chris's brawn, like, this is kind of a beautiful marriage that frankly should have happened a lot earlier. And really just, maybe I'm too high on Desi and I'm too low on Cassidy and Chanel, but like, I just find Desi to be like the absolute dream combination of a challenge person. Like, if I could take a little bit less of her like moral compass away,
right,
whatever caused her to realign with Tori here. But other than that, like, her social game, her physical game, her strategic game. Like, I just really think she is one of the best all around rookies we've seen in the last few years. I know she's not a rookie this season, but in her last season.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah, I do agree. She needs to like have like a, like when in like the Powerpuff Girls, like a little bit of sugar, a little bit of spice. They needed a little bit of Laurel tossed in there. Would have been a lot of fun if she had a little bit of that, a little bit of that edge to her, because she's a little bit more of like the Emily Strom archetype, where she's like a big beast, but like doesn't necessarily get in people's faces. So it would be a lot of fun if she does it, but look, can't, and everyone's not going to do that. So she's just going to be like the super nice person. So, you know, good for her.
I'm just shook that 10 years later, you think I'm going to get a Powerpuff Girls reference. You know me at all.
I mean, how could you not? How does anyone not get the Powerpuff Girls?
A little bit of sugar, a little bit of spice. What?
It's a Cartoon Network show. Come on.
I know the show, okay. But I'm not. Anyway, let's get to the daily.
It's called Brain Squeeze. Have to run through an old fort, a historic old fort of the Croatian heritage, and have to find an unknown number of puzzle bags. I don't know if there's multiple pieces each of them, but I think just 8 unknown pieces of puzzle.
No, just that like little sandcastle piece.
Right. Sorry. So a certain number of pieces, piece in each bag. They didn't know how many there were, so you have to do a full, scavenger hunt of the entire tower, and then you race back out and build it.
Yeah, I liked this. I think it actually played out in the absolutely best possible way it could have, right? That became that Michaela gave a misdirect, Des of how many pieces people are watching, right? She tells Bananas, oh, there's 7 pieces. We're all clear here. Bananas believes her. Desi tips off Chris, they're really 8 pieces. And then Desi and Chris win as a result of having that information. Like, really, chef's kiss. I literally did a chef's kiss while I was watching the challenge.
No, I couldn't agree more. It played out perfectly. It was very fun to see Chris get a win. It was very fun to see how it played out. The one thing I wish is, like, because Michaela was the one that was hiding the number of things with Bananas, it would have been fun to see it pay off for her with a win. But she's already had a couple wins, so it's fun to see Desi get in the power position as well. So good to see her win. Good to see Chris win and get a mix up in there. This felt very similar. I think they almost did this right at the end of Challenge USA 1 with this when Ben like hurt his shoulder. I think they did it like at night where they had to like go through an old building and look for stuff. Like, this felt very similar to that. So I'm glad they like tweaked it and made it during the day, so we don't have the people get eliminated right before the final because of an injury. So that was a major plus. Keep these maze things during the day.
Were those the tires that had different colors and different points?
Yeah,
exactly. You had to decide if you take. Yeah. I'm disturbed. I knew what you were talking about.
I can't believe you pulled that tire off. I totally forgot what they were doing. So good for you with the tires. Nice job.
Thank you. Does production? So two things. One, does production hate Fezzle because he's like, I have pretty good endurance, and then they cut immediately to him vomiting.
Well, it's also like, this is where the lack of self-awareness. I feel like he has struggled in finals with endurance. I feel like that's been part of an issue with him. So I don't know necessarily what he's talking about.
Maybe it's foreshadowing, because also like a little bit of foreshadowing with the weakness of every single man left in the game besides Chris, which is puzzles, char puzzles. And like, I don't know how Chris would fare if he started the same time of everyone, but puzzles are certainly not Corey Bananas or Fessel's strength. I really don't know about Josh, but you know, Fessel makes a comment like all of them are going to struggle with these puzzles.
Yeah, I was almost waiting for because this was an instance where they're almost trying to gang up. I was wondering if anyone was gonna like stop doing their own puzzle and just try to help someone win, if they thought they were close. But I guess it wasn't that complicated of a puzzle. The complicated part was just getting all the pieces together. So I don't necessarily know if someone helping you do this puzzle would have even helped that much. It probably would have just gotten you in the way. But I was curious to see if someone, at least they made the rule, I think, right, that you could only grab your own bag. I think that was a good, like, making sure that there was no just ganging up.
Oh, I didn't even know they said that.
I think they did. I could just be making that up in my head of hoping that production made a correct decision. But I thought they said you can only grab your own bag.
Yeah. No, I did laugh a lot at people. I think Michaela and Fessel called for check, maybe even Chris, when it was like very clearly not correct. Like, it was like it did not fit. It was like hanging halfway over. They're like, check, maybe check.
You know what? There's no harm, right? I mean, the only harm would be if you don't ask for check and you were right. So you might as well.
Was this puzzle supposed to have a ledge that jumped out? Check.
I would come back with my first piece. Check. Am I done?
Yeah. All right. Well, we mostly talked about this. Everyone kind of decides it's going to be a girl's day. We get a little bad press, a little bad pub for Michaela, you know, advocating for a girl's day, pushing Michelle. Bananas gets a confessional saying like, oh, yeah, duh, Michaela, like everyone was going to do that anyway. And then a little bit of a rift, a ledge in the puzzle comes out between Michaela and Michelle.
Do you turn red when you're having a Michelle down, is what they call it?
I think I would just stay red because I'm constantly in a state of Michelle down. So I can't really assess the redness.
I do like Michaela's such a fun character. You don't really, you don't see this a lot of like the straight man, like woman archetype. Like there's like sitting there, letting the person go crazy and just be like, yeah, this is what you're doing. You're melting down. You look like you're having trouble. You're having trouble. Like she's such a fun character on the show. I can't believe like, it almost goes back to like that first when she came onto the challenge, like it was Spies, Lies, or Owls, whichever one she did first. And like I knocked that episode one, like how robbed we were of her on this show. And like, thank God she had like a second chance to do it here because she has just been such a phenomenally fun person to watch.
I think you could say straight woman. I don't think you have to say straight man woman.
I don't know what the term is. Like I said, my brain is operating at now that it's a little bit later, less than 50% capacity today. So I'm just lucky I haven't said anything else that bad.
But no, it's a great point. It's totally true. Michaela is just like matter of fact. Like she's not looking for confrontation, but she's not afraid of it. She's not going to squirm. She's not going to deny it. It's just like, yeah, I was telling them what happened last night. And Michelle gives classic Michelle. I'm a mess. That's a fact, but I'm not a villain. And it's just like, okay, like that to me speaks directly to online hate that Michelle has gotten or trolls. Like, yeah. I can't imagine the level of hate and trolling that Michelle gets all the time or has gotten. So like, you know, don't make me out to be a villain. Like I might be making bad decisions. Even her last season on the challenge, she probably got a ton of hate on the internet. So like I make mistakes, but I'm not a bad person is sort of Michelle's plea to Michaela and to the audience. And it's true. Like she's not a villain. And no, she took a swing. She made a game move that Michaela would be willing to make too. And Michaela's using it against her. I don't think she's trying to make her out to like no character assassination or anything like that.
No, this was a good old fashioned game fight of people. Like you said, Michelle tried to do something, didn't work. Michaela's now her best friend's in power, so they can watch Michelle melt down. And like there was no name calling outside of like, you know, being called a mess or whatever, but like there's nothing vitriol about it. It was great and fun, and it's just so sad for Michelle to once again have to bring up, like I know she kind of like says it almost like offhand at this point, but it so clearly just eats her up inside about how much like she feels like people doesn't think her co-wrong win is deserved, when really the least deserving winner is like in the other room. So it just sucks that she has to like still deal with that, like she's been doing now. Like the challenge is like her third or fourth season at this point. Like I just want her to win the challenge just so she could like put that stigma behind her, so at least you can say like, all right, at least I won another show, so like I could like people can say whatever they want about Survivor, but I'm a challenge champ or something. Like I just need her to win something else so she could try to like put this behind her.
So that's interesting. I think that pressure point is being pressed a lot by CBS and she definitely feels it 100%, but like I think we're getting that a lot in the same way we're getting Chris's story, because this is to appeal to like Survivor CBS's audience. But I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong. I don't feel like we hear that as much from her on like the actual MTV challenge. But I frankly think she has a lot more reason to have a chip on her shoulder on her last season of the challenge. How badly she screwed that up. How badly she screwed that up for Jay. She was wrong about every single read that she had in the game. She was paranoid about Laurel. She was, you know, like she was making just bad game moves. Maybe in the shadow of her stress about her win on Survivor, but like, I would almost rather hear about that. Like how she's like repairing what has been a few seasons of being on the outs. And maybe she has talked about this a little bit of the challenge veterans proper. She's done an incredible job sort of navigating that and repairing those relationships to get sort of in with the vets here. I am, perhaps to your point, very uninterested in the story about the Survivor win, because it's just so disconnected after four seasons of the challenge. Like I'm very disconnected to that story. I'm more interested in her failures on the challenge.
Well, that'll be funny. Challenge 39, when she's on, like, is she talking about, oh, I need to win to like this prove my Survivor haters wrong? Or is she going to be talking about, I need to win to prove my like, me and Jay were so messy haters wrong. Like, like what baggage is she going to be talking about more on Challenge 39 when she's on? So that'll be very interesting.
And at the end of the day, like as someone who has been accused by Michelle of being a hater, which I don't agree with the podcast she took issue with, but I respect that. Like at the end of the day, She is a mainstay at this point of the challenge across multiple challenge franchises. And I don't think she needs to win the challenge to put that kind of stuff behind her. I'm not rooting for her because of it, but like, the haters have been silenced with every paycheck she cashes from being returning on the show. And in fact, it took us a few seasons, I think, to come around to being excited for her to be on. Like, she's really come in. The screw ups last season made me excited for her to be on this season. So
who wants to see a perfect social player? Yeah, we don't need a perfect social player. We want messy social player. That's what we want here on the challenge. I thought it was interesting that Chris did downplay Bananas, calling him old, like doesn't view him as much of a threat. And I think I wonder if that perception of him, like they, you know, even when he was having his like tirade about being thrown in, like people were just viewing him as like the crazy uncle. And I wonder if that's actually kind of helped him a little bit. Like maybe that's why like Wes maybe got the target a little bit more. Maybe people were, maybe they just got like, you know, All Stars 2 was like their screener to watch before the season starts, and they saw Wes like dominate and like, oh, or All Stars 3, I don't remember which it was, but like, and got to see him just win, and like maybe they were more scared of Wes. Like maybe the perception of Bananas in this house is like, oh, this, he's not that intimidating. We don't have to be that concerned about him making a final. I think they absolutely should be, but like maybe he's, that's the perception of him.
It is interesting. It's, I would love to know why the target never fell on him. Maybe it's because there are just so many kind of guys like him, or like Tori, even though Desi is a worthy adversary for Tori, Tori is still like the only champion woman in the house, the only one who's really made it far in a final or had a shot at a final, like that kind of thing. Like Bananas, Wes, Fessel, like Bananas is kind of insulated by a lot of meat shields, or was insulated by a lot of meat shields. I think if Chris actually went out one of the 100 times they tried to get him out, maybe people turn more to Bananas. Maybe Bananas really just does have the better social game that we've talked about. Like we've highlighted the way he's approached Michaela. Michaela's in this room kind of giving the information to Corey and Bananas. So it could be a number of things, and it could be like you're saying what Chris says, like he's old, I'm not that worried about him. And that could be like a very Fessel kind of attitude, a very Chris kind of attitude.
Yeah, it's very interesting because this is not like, I don't think we've ever seen people discount Bananas in a final. Like people have always said like, all right, you can't let him get to a final. That's where he does his best work. So it's very odd to see him being talked about like that.
What about how Michaela handles the confrontation from Michelle? Like before it becomes a fight, Michaela's throwing Michelle under the bus to the vets, and Michelle is saying, well, what about you? You're the one who was advocating for Tori. And she was like, no, I wasn't. And this is where I think Michaela looks a little bad, but the fight escalating kind of covers it because who cares? Like what was Michaela's plan? Michaela's plan was to still tell the veterans like, I had no idea people were going to turn against Tori, even though my two closest allies voted for Tori.
Yeah, she's walking a little bit of a fine line of like really trying, like potentially pushing away Desi and Chanel. Like, I feel like at a certain point, then those two might wake up and be like, why is Michaela like trying to like separate herself? Like, she was very much in the, we need to get Tori out multiple times. We had to talk her out of it a couple times. So the fact that she's now trying to like step away from it beyond us, like is not right. And we don't want to like be the ones that catch the blowback from it. So she is, it is interesting. And then I'll be very curious to see each of their thoughts watching it back, how they feel about how Michaela's played the game. And if they're a little bit angry about how she's tried to like separate herself from some of these moves to try to protect herself. I mean, look, it's a good game move. She should try to be doing that, but it's dangerous to do it in the moment, especially starting a fight with the person going in. Like it does create the perfect opportunity to be like, all right, let's just put them against each other. Like Desi doesn't control the hopper vote. So Michaela was setting herself up a little bit for being the hopper vote.
Yeah. It's also weird because Michaela was willing, you know, to vote for Tori. And I believe that like if Desi and Chanel were okay with it, do I think it's possible that she would have nominated her, or if Corey and Fessel were okay with it more likely? Like she already kind of took a swing at Tori. So why she's trying to sort of cover her tracks now, it's, there's a little sloppiness there.
It's a little Big Brother style gameplay. A little playing Big Brother.
Luckily for Michaela, Desi's in power. Chris sort of immediately takes Desi's main allies off the table. fine. I mean, I think a lot of this conversation was lip service. Like,
it was gonna be an email.
I wish they were talking about it like straight up. Like, I prefer Michelle because if we're gonna take a shot at Tori, it has to be in the hopper. I don't want my girls going against her. Like, they end up not doing that, but like, that's the truth, you know? Like, it was annoying to me. Like, it's like, oh, it's based on my integrity. Like, well, maybe it's based on protecting your closest allies and taking a shot at a veteran if you like think she's intimidating to you. And then the guy vote, which cracked me up. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish Chris just said up front, this is a completely irrelevant vote because it will absolutely be a girl's day except for the one ball that Michelle will put in. So I'm going to put in Josh because I don't respect his game at all. And like, I don't want to make an enemy out of one of the guys who is most likely not to go in and then win next week.
Yeah, that would have been, I can understand him maybe not wanting to be that upfront to Desi, but I would love to see that maybe in a confessional of him seeing like sharing his true rationale, because it is very smart thinking of like, all right, there's a very, very small chance of Josh going in if he's only going to get one, maybe two hopper votes. So like the gain I would get of, you know, taking a chance of like, all right, Fessel, like, I'm not coming for you. I know you've come for me, but I'm going to be the bigger man. I'm not going to come for you. So if you win, like, maybe you'll toss me a bone. Like, maybe that little bit of a boost in your social capital is worth the one in eight shot, one in nine shot, or whatever the hoppers were. So I would have loved to see that as a confessional rather than like Fessel and Corey kind of like blowing up his spot for him. I would have loved to have Chris have the moment of sharing what his thoughts were.
So what do you think about this? I think it's a good move for Chris ultimately, but should he have nominated Fessel? Because it pretty much would have been clean, right? Fessel would have not been mad. It wouldn't have aggravated their situation. It might have only cemented that Fessel is going to continue to put him in, but like it's net neutral. And at least one ball is going to be a shot at getting someone against Fessel.
So it's tough because obviously you get the miracle one in eight shot of, you know, you throw in Fessel, Michelle puts her ball on, you know, bananas or something like that. And all of a sudden them two are going head to head and it's like your dream come true. Like that would be incredible. But
it's a one in eight chance. That's not even a miracle. No, that's like not, a pretty reason. If I told you you had a one in eight chance of winning $100,000, you'd play those odds, you know, like.
Absolutely. But it's also like, what do you think the odds are of, do you think there's anything to be gained from Fessel? I think Fessel was almost trying to talk himself into it of like, what is up with this Chris guy? Is he like not coming for me? Like, I think there was something to playing the mind game on Fessel. Like Fessel is very prone to mind games from his Big Brother experience of you doing something that he's not expecting. And then maybe he's like has a different found respect for you. And if he does win, maybe he takes the shot at bananas right before the final, like knowing, all right, this is it. Double elimination. Next spot's the final. Maybe he's like, all right, I'm not going to throw on Chris. I'm going to take the shot at bananas here instead.
But here's the thing. These people have to stop playing like it's Survivor. Like maybe I'll get his jury vote. Maybe I'll get this. Like maybe he'll save me. Maybe he'll send me to fire. Maybe like there is no combination of people. If Fessel wins next week, even if he puts up bananas, the house will vote Chris in unless bananas campaigns. Give me Josh or whatever. Like Chris is at this point as big of a threat to Fessel as bananas in a final, maybe more because he could do puzzles. So I just don't think like there's much favor to Curry as much as it's important as getting rid of physical threats in an elimination. Like, if that works, if what we just laid out works and he nominates bananas and bananas ask for Josh and they get rid of Josh. But then like, why would Fessel do that? Because then Fessel knocks out his best friend and easiest competition. I just don't see a scenario where this little gesture, fake gesture, frankly, from Chris will have any meaning.
The one thing is like, it is the fact that Chris didn't have that confessional does give him plausible deniability that this wasn't like a fake gesture. And it was like, he just doesn't respect Josh and he just like wants him to do something to prove himself. So like you know, if Chris and Vessel on our season together, like Chris does have that plausible deniability. Like he doesn't have the scene of him telling Desi like, oh, I know this means a crock of shit, but I'm just going to throw in Josh because, you know, I don't think he's going to do anything. It's not going to be a guy's day. And I'm trying to save face with Vessel. So like he does. That's not out there. Like that's only was brought out there by Corey and Vessel speculating. That wasn't brought out there, you know, 100% by Chris.
Ask in the exits. Like, yes, I agree with you, but I have to believe that that's been later talked about or Bananas got involved and was like, yeah, that was like a gimme vote or whatever. But yeah, it's not nothing. It's not nothing. An easy shot, a clean shot, a risk, a 1-8 risk. A Fessel would not want to play those odds of 1-8 going in. So it's not absolutely nothing. And entertainment wise, it cracked me up. It was a la give me the goof. Like, disrespectfully, I hate this guy and he doesn't deserve to be here. So I'm going to nominate him just to put him on his toes and hopes that he overreacts.
Right. And look, I mean, if someone's going to overreact in that house, Josh is like, you know, number one pick. So it's worth it.
And if that nomination put Josh in a headspace where he is now going to volunteer to take Chris out in the next elimination, then that's actually the best game move that Chris has ever made. There you go.
Yeah, that's big brain stuff there. Chris Gieseling.
Yeah, unbelievable. So yeah, I expected every girl to vote for Cassidy except for Michelle. Sorry, to vote for Tori and every guy to vote for Cassidy. Because we've been talking a lot about how members of the opposite sex are motivated to keep stronger people.
Like, Brandon, what is Cassidy doing, right? Like, what is Cat like? So Cassidy voted for Chanel. Like, that's crazy. Like, vote for Tori. What are you doing?
She does not know what's going on in the game. She, that is a personal, like, I'm going to make somebody else prove themselves. Like, kind of my least favorite kind of player. Yeah. A very Tori move, frankly.
Or even vote for Michaela. Like, what do you like? That's a crazy. It's a crazy vote to vote for Chanel there. It, that, of all the votes, like that's got to be the worst of it.
It's personal. She's a student of Wes. Let me ask you this question for Brandon, because we talked a lot about this. This has driven me nuts for literally years. Why is it a thing that men want strong women in the final and vice versa? It's a talking point in every season. And on the podcast, it's often taken for granted that you want strong opposite sex finalists as well. If it's a partner's final, they always partner in every pair. So a stronger woman is an advantage for all men equally, and a weaker woman is a disadvantage for all men equally. So therefore, it doesn't advantage or disadvantage anyone. It seems to me like the only, like the one and only criteria players should want in the opposite sex players is to keep the people who will politically benefit them, since everything else washes out in the final. What am I missing?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say the thing you're missing is it's not paired equally. They're not like in the final, you're not doing the same thing with every person the same. And you don't know, like what one stage could just be eating something, but the next stage could be like the 20-mile hike or like the canoe ride or something like that. And you don't know at which stage you're going to get the person that like isn't good at stuff. And if you get them on the stage that, you know, takes the longest time or is the most physically demanding and it sinks your game, then the other person getting that person for eating and they can do that, it's not as bad. So like, if you know there's like a grenade floating out there, ideally you're just like, let's just not even play with the grenade and let's just play with like an equal playing field.
Which actually might end up being interesting depending on the makeup of the final of like, you know, if you get a bad puzzle person and you're a bad puzzle person, you're really screwed for that leg. And so you're almost like in an ideal world, sort of what you're saying about the grenade, you want equal playing field. Even if every guy is equally bad at puzzles, you'd rather that than have one ringer and three bad people or one bad person and three ringers. So it will be interesting with this sort of makeup of guys, depending on who gets to the final.
Yeah. Like if you're someone like Corey who needs things to go like very well and you need someone else to like make mistakes in the final, because he has to know his skill set is not like perfectly set up to do well in the final. So he knows he needs other people to screw up. He needs to get a little bit lucky. Like he's someone that should want someone who I don't think they're really in anyone is that bad still left, but like he should want someone that is kind of bad in a final to take the chance that you get that person in the right spot and then that person takes down a couple of people that you're competing with. But if you're someone who's at that like the favorite, the top of the line that you think you can win, like you don't want like any variables in the mix, you just want, you know, to be playing it as clean as possible.
Yeah, it's a good point that maybe the next layer of thinking would be people saying like, I'll take a chance that I'm a better partner. I'm a more motivating partner. I can make up the slack of my partner more than somebody else can. So better that they take the chance, or I'll come and like win the first thing so I can pick my part, you know, whatever. But I do think we tend to see people just prefer no variables and I'll just like take my clean shot. I don't want to blame or have an Enzo that sinks my, my challenge.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah.
All right. So Cassie is going to go up against Michelle. One vote Corey, one vote Chanel, seven on Cassidy. I did not understand. I was very confused. I don't know why we're wasting an elimination on Cassidy versus Michelle. That said, it was, you know, fun theatrics.
Very fun elimination. Did I put the name? It was called Hot Wheel. A little bit of a kind of a tug of war with two wheels on each side. You have to navigate a torch or a lighter sort of to light up and blow up six of your colored targets. And when they blow up, they certainly blew up. I don't think they put too much like gasoline in those things because those things were popping.
I thought it was in post at first until like the third one. And I was like, oh, no, that's real smoke.
Yeah, there was so much smoke that they didn't even, you couldn't even see it. The Cassidy got like her third and fourth, like back to back. Like you couldn't even see or get the other one because the smoke was still so thick that it was blocking the explosion of the next one.
Yeah, I liked it. It was fine. Michelle gets absolutely rocked. But Banana shouts out, great season, Michelle. And I think we've said it. We've been, I don't know if we've been hard or not hard on her this episode, but like it. I think the message has carried through. We've talked about this. Like, this is one of Michelle's best challenge seasons as far as the way she was able to leverage herself into the majority. She was working with the minority also. Like, she was really insulated and unfortunately, just a couple weeks too soon, it blew up in her face. She had to make a decision. And good, like, fair play to her. Like, we've always seen her sort of back against the wall, playing from the bottom, not in with anyone, or not anyone, but like not in with power people. And she had a phenomenal season.
She was great. Look, she didn't get a vote or a hopper vote for basically the entire season. Like she was very, like she, I think she said, like she went in the first elimination and was not really talked about as an option at all until she made it. She had a game changing decision last week, chose the wrong way, and it blew up. Like if she sides with Desi and Chanel and Michelle, or Desi and Chanel last week, she's probably not going in this week. And, you know, or if, you know, she sided with Tori, if Tori happened to win this week, she's probably not going in this week. So she got a little unlucky and maybe, you know, a little bit of bad decision-y, but she was great all the way around.
And once again, I'll say, you know, screwed by the edit, because like we had way more people talking about how strong her game was and how many people are protecting her. She's the most insulated girl. Fessel's number one. But we didn't really like see that work happening. And I feel like that's what happened to her on Survivor. Like people really liked her. She played a great social game. And we just, she's sort of not really in the edit. Talk. Maybe she doesn't give good confessionals. I don't know. When I do see her confessionals, I like them. So I feel like she was a little bit erased given how much people said she was in the mix.
To give credit to the editors, it is tough to show like a good social game of people just being well liked. Like the way you show that is like her name not popping up at all in the hopper and people calling out, wow, Michelle's name like hasn't been, you know, popped up in like a month. Like that's pretty interesting. Like it's hard to like just show a scene of her just like, you know, hanging out and like people being like, oh, I love Michelle. Like it's hard to edit that in when there's like other stuff to go around.
No, I get it, but I feel like we see a lot of likable moments of a lot of people, or like, where's that conversation between Fessel and Michelle? Did it happen purely off air? Because like last I heard, Fessel and Michelle didn't have the best relationship because they had like a fling. Then he was with Amanda. Then she fought with Amanda about it. Amanda hated her the entire season over it. And then we hear that Michelle and Fessel are each other's number one. Like, could have seen that, you know, but I get it. Yeah. It's the same criticism or the same defense that people give of her season, of like the under-edited woman or the under-edited Tommy win. Like it is certainly difficult to show that kind of game, but there are a few conversations I think that may have been key.
Yeah, they did find time to, you know, include the banana face over banana scene. So I guess they could have found a little bit more space for Michelle.
Yeah, it was a great scene though.
It was.
Cannibalism.
I chuckled. Yeah. I do like Chanel and Bananas have a good rapport. They have good banter with each other.
Do they? I guess I haven't noticed it because I guess I'm a hater. And there was a good scene this week. All right. Next week, we're going to have a double elimination. This will be very exciting because I know it could really go either anyway.
I mean, look, even if you pencil in Chris and Cassidy, unless they win, it would be a shock if they're not in. So, but even if you pencil each of them in, that still leaves like those four vet guys that have to like pick one of them to go in. And then it's, you know, the Secret Garden and Tori that have to go in against Cassidy. So it's very interesting to see how it's going to break out. And let alone if Chris and Cassidy each win, then we got real chaos. So this could be a lot of fun.
And I forget if in the preview, the coming attraction, whatever, it said that this is the last elimination before the final. But if that is confirmed and they do know that, you know, maybe you're throwing a bigger target into the hopper. Maybe we're going to see some of the stuff we've said should happen. A quick shout out. We know it all's in New York. Rob's Survivor podcast happened this week. We were both out on Tuesday at the Great Bryce and Wen event, and then you were at Actual Know It Alls on Wednesday. We met some great listeners, Brandon, who's on the season of Survivor, and then Joanna and Regan, I believe. Shout out to them. Please ping us on Twitter because we would like to follow you back if you follow us, but Twitter search is difficult. So this is us maybe making a public appeal.
Yeah, going back to my bus drivers are out days, that like it was very heartwarming. People know me from my YouTube blogging days, so that was very sweet.
And Mark Lanta went back and updated his 4-star review, 5-star reviews. Shout out. Thank you to
incredible.
Either Gert, David, and I, or Great David and I, Hannah, 602, Katrina, like the hurricane, rough. Thanks for the 5-star reviews. Thanks for the support. A lot of people writing about my like appeal, and it's so funny because like maybe it's the CBS audience, but like I don't think I've been like as drastic as I've been in the past asking for reviews.
No, it was just the one time, but it really like, you know, maybe like that's more the move. It's not asking every week. It's like, wait like a good like 6 or 7 weeks and then drop the bomb and then they all come running. It was great.
The funny one was Katrina said, I love the appeal for reviews after you got a microphone. I don't think people realize how long I was using AirPods. and to be clear, I always had the microphone. You know, my computer wasn't working. But anyway,
but a teaser for the next exit review, I got a new camera. So I'm hoping to step up my HD game. Look out, people. Hopefully this doesn't make it look worse. And you can listen to that exit interview by subscribing at robberswebsite.com/challengefeed. Also follow me on Twitter and TikTok at @ConanBryan_. You can follow you.
You can follow me at @LashTweets. I have a question because I'm terrible at drafts and I always draft the worst team. I've been in last in Noop's draft for literally since the beginning because I had Paulie, John A, Lewis, and Amira.
Must lose draft?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been in last since like the dawn of time. I've been in last. But I have Fessel and Desi. And Noop only has Chris. And I have 51 and he has 64. Do you think I will overtake Noop before the end of the season? Can I make up a 13-point deficit with Fessel and Desi versus Chris?
Without knowing anything about how the scoring works, I'm going to say...
Me neither. Oh, I can tell you, it's very quick. You only get points for winning an individual challenge and winning an elimination and surviving the episode. You lose points for being nominated, receiving votes, and being chosen for an elimination.
Well, I feel like they're all set on being in the final. I'd be surprised the way their stories have gone. I think all three will be in the final. And I think... probably Desi has the best chance to win between that threesome. So I think you have a decent chance then.
All right. We'll see.
Rooting for you. Well, half rooting for you.
Preach. Yeah. Why half?
Well, I don't know. I'm not really rooting for Fessel. I'll root for Desi.
Are you a fan of it? Okay. Sorry. Anyway.
All right, we'll be back next week, episode 13, to see who will be running in hopefully a non-disastrous final. Until then, have a good one. It's the recap of MTV, your host, Alex.
And now, gambling terms. Snake eyes. Rolling ones with a pair of dice. Double down. Doubling the original bet for one more card. Bad beat. When your strong hand gets beat. Illegal gambling can put you at risk. Protect our communities. Play legit and gamble only where it's legal. Learn more now at PlayLegitCO.com. A message from the Colorado Division of Gaming. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.